No, but I own all the utilities, so it's actually times 10.
Board games on 95BFM. Our weekly chat with Waitemata local board head Pippa Coombe.
Indeed, you're listening to 95BFM. This is Board Games. This week, again, we are not talking to Pippa Coombe. However, we are talking to some of her fellow counterparts at City Vision. So, in case you're unaware, we are now entering election season for the local body elections so that you can vote for your local boards, your local councillors, as well as a few other things that we'll get into later kind of throughout the series. So we thought it was a good idea to kind of start profiling a few of these candidates so you know who you're looking at when you kind of go to the ballot box, essentially. So today we're joined by Alexandra Bonham, who is a kind of resident of Greylin and also a member of Women in Urbanism. So she's done a lot of work in terms of looking at play in the city space. We're also joined by Graham Gunthorpe, who's a Freemans Bay resident and kind of an asset manager, managing and overseeing kind of shopping centres across New Zealand. And so we can discuss with them what the election season is looking like and what they've heard kind of through the grapevine and what local politics means for them. I started by asking, you know, how they've found themselves in this position.
I am incredibly excited about local board politics. The more I have learnt about cities, the more aware I've become that the local council and the decisions made at this regional level can make a massive difference to people's lives. When you look around the city, look around the world at cities that are thriving, that are becoming more environmentally sustainable and more people friendly, these have nearly always been led from a local council level. In Germany, Freiburg and Vauban are considered to be the most child-friendly and most environmentally sustainable cities in the world. That was decided by the good people of the city of Freiburg. Same in London. You know, the UK is going through a lot of change at the moment, but where the good stuff is happening, it's in council level, trying to reduce carbon pollution and trying to plan cities better.
Yeah, well, Oscar, I'm a transport geek from way back, and even when I was a kid drawing on the map of Auckland, how our train lines really should operate all around the city. So I've still got that hope for our city, and as you can tell by Alex's accent, she grew up in the UK, and I spent 9 years of my life in London as well. Travelling around Europe, I've seen the way that cities should be run, and Alex has come up with some really good examples there. Auckland has that opportunity, but it takes really strong leadership to do it, and the pedestrianisation of High Street is a really good example. It was announced by Phil Goff and Chris Darby only last week, and it is working with the community to make sure that you bring them on the journey with you. Why is pedestrianisation or shared streets so important? Well, like Alex alluded to, it creates a friendlier city. It's a place where you don't mind your kids running free. It's a place where the roads are not vicious and killer. They are places where communities can stroll and enjoy. And on the business side of things, it's far better for retail. It's far better for places that people want to live. It's far better for real estate values. So there's a lot of criticisms that are coming from the opposition on these type of ventures when we are trying to point Auckland and Tamaki Makaurau in the direction of these European best practice cities. You know, it takes really strong messaging, and that's where we're coming from.
Certainly. You mentioned bringing people with you in these journeys. How do you, as kind of candidates, plan or see the best way of bringing people into these conversations where I think statistically we can, it's safe to say that they perhaps haven't been involved as much as they could be in the past?
There are a couple of good ways. In Waltham Forest recently in London, they put a lot of money in to be able to see a real change in the streets there, and they started talking to the local community before they designed anything, talking about what they needed, what their kids needed, the problems that they were having, and then they trialled new streetscapes to allow more cycleways and better pedestrian walkways. And even though there were some people who weren't keen, the great majority of people could actually see how things were different and how it would work for them and their families. And so it pushed through, and they are so pleased with the outcomes. And those sorts of trials can work really well here. And it's not just me having this idea. Graham's mentioned it already, but Simon Wilson has been pushing for this, and the council itself wants to use trialing to show people what they mean. And I know that we're pushing for better consultation process. So consultation means talking to people before you've made the decision, using their input, using their local knowledge to inform the decisions, and then lead them through the process every step of the way.
You place emphasis on consultation before decisions being made. Do you think that there have been instances where perhaps consultation hasn't been performed in this way, or do you think it perhaps has been performed for the sake of having it in the system or process?
Well, I mean, Auckland Transport gets a lot of stick for the processes that it goes through, especially on consultation, and some of it's well-founded and some perhaps not. Let's look at St Heliers, where they had a safety-focused plan. What they did, went away, dropped the plan, presented it to the community. Community hated it. What Alex is alluding to here is an earlier step, I think, where you talk to the community, say, what is important to you? Okay, safety is important to you. Where is it important? This intersection here. Then they take away, do the drawings and present them and say, we've got your support already on these. Here's what we've designed, so that it's a two-tier consultation.
Yeah, and the language is really key. At the moment, I believe AT calls all of these conversations consultation, including presentation of the design. And that's not helpful to people. It's just a tiny tweak. Call consultation consultation, and call presentation of design, where we're only going to tweak the design now, a presentation, and then call it, this is the done deal at the end. And everyone knows where they are.
As candidates, I'm sure you've heard some conversations within the Waitemata Local Board already. What kind of topics are people bringing up that would perhaps eventually, within your term, say you are to be elected, require a consultation process or kind of work upon?
Yeah, sure. Well, we've been door knocking for a few weeks already, and some of the main topics that I've heard come up, environment, with in particular the water quality in our harbours, has been near the top. Transport, of course, it's on everyone's lips, and housing. There is an element of NIMBYism in our society, but less vocal are the YIMBYs, yes, in my backyard, people that appreciate we do have a housing crisis out there, and some sacrifices do need to be made by the community in terms of what you used to. Just because you've been there for 60 years, you can't expect that Auckland is going to stand still. That's not realistic. This city is growing by 50, 60,000 people a year, and we need to make room for all of those people. We can't just do it by expanding into the beautiful red soil of Pukekohe. We can't just keep expanding at our boundaries ad nauseum. We have to start looking at more density. Now, the number of consents that have been coming through for new dwellings for the first time has now been more apartments and townhouses than standalone houses. And that's really important because it changes the way that we live in our cities. It enables us to operate at a medium density, which is far more efficient for our services. And for all of those people out there who cannot afford housing, this is the way that all around the world, in cities, that you get into the housing market. You start off in a smaller unit, a townhouse, or an apartment, and then as you get older and need more space, you may have the opportunity to upsize, but we are not going to do it with the status quo.
Yeah, I agree with everything Graham has just said. Thinking about how you can trial that and show people what that looks like, I can think of two things. Like, the cycle network has been designed. Why not just paint it in? Paint in the whole cycle network so people can see what it's going to look like in the end. And then people will probably start to use it and go, I would love it. Another thing with houses, we do have terraced houses and apartment buildings here. I'm doing a walking tour in September as part of the architecture festival around Ponsonby, and you can point out, here are three-story terraced houses, and people look at them and go, well, we really like them. So there's this absolute dread, I think, of being put into shoeboxes, and there was some bad design, admittedly, about 20 years ago, and very small apartments, and I think there's this absolute terror that if anyone goes, yes, we will allow a change, that they will see them being pushed into these sort of great high-rise towers. It does not have to be that way, and I don't think there's anyone in the design office that is pushing for that.
You're both standing as candidates for City Vision. What makes that different from standing as independent candidates?
It allows us to work together. We make each other better candidates. We share information, we discuss issues, and we share our sort of our networks as well so that we can be really effective. If we were standing by ourselves, we would probably be duplicating each other, perhaps not sharing so much. And what we want to be as effective as possible so that we can be as effective leaders as possible.
Yeah, so City Vision is an amalgam of Labour, Greens and Community Independence. So generally we're very progressive in our policies and we want to see Auckland develop as it keeps expanding. We're not interested in freezing things in time and saying, right, that's how things are, because the horse is already bolted. The city is expanding and we need these best practice examples from around the world. The group of people that we have, 37 candidates across the wards in the Central Isthmus, we share values: protecting the environment, building infrastructure, careful financial management, not selling assets. And because we all have these shared values, we're able to come from different walks of life. Green Party members, Labour members, myself, independent, as quite a few others are, but we share these values and we're able to be stronger together.
For those who would say that local body politics shouldn't be a set of party values, which I think is, there's an important distinction to make between party and shared values, which you have brought up, shared values as opposed to party values, and that it should be purely based on the community's needs. What response do you kind of have to that argument, which is one that we see kind of frequently online?
Well, we're not an outpost of parties that have come through the parties that have been appointed by people within the party or anything like that. We are passionate about our city. And the issues that we're concerned about are areas where central government and party policies don't so much go. So we're interested in enhancing parks and shared spaces. We're interested in better planning. We're interested in better public transport. That is the realm of local politics. And we can work with people who are not in the same party because we don't have this massive pool of money that we're pushing towards any particular industry. We're just trying to work as really effective governance of a city.
Yeah, I think that the City Vision guiding principles are suitably wide that they can encompass the whole progressive, liberal, political aspect. We are not being governed by party whips. We do have disagreements behind closed doors, and we do have different ideas about what the solutions are. But the fact is, we all believe the environment needs to be protected. We all believe that Auckland should retain control of its assets. We all believe that we need better public transport and transport choice, and that's what guides us.
Certainly, I think you could argue it takes a community to change a community. And on that note, for you guys, what is community? What are you representing as local candidates?
I've got two kids. Graham has one very little one. I care deeply about Auckland Council and Auckland because it is my home and it's the home of my children. It is the home of all the children of people in Auckland. And we want Auckland to get better and to be able to manage the challenges that it's going to face with climate change, with the environment, with pollution. We want it to work. And the community is everyone here. So I'm a member of a number of groups. I am on the Richmond Road School Board. So all of those kids, that area is my community. I shop around Central Auckland, Greylen, Parnell. That is my community. My friends, everyone I smile and share the bus with, they are my community. And I'm in Women in Urbanism too, and I'm looking out for people who are perhaps more vulnerable, whose perspectives are not always heard. So if you're under 18, you don't get the vote. I am very much thinking about what children need and want now and in the future, and looking out for people who are new into the community as well, and the people who've been here for a long time.
That's not a ladder, that's an upside down snake.
Board Games on 95 BFM.